This week on a two-man Movies on Up with just Ryan and Dave this week, we'll tell you a little bit about things that we fucked up from last week and add actual news to the new Star Wars movies.
We talk some trailers, a little bit more than we have been, some zombies, a comedy, and some more spooky stuff.
Lots of zombies, lots of boxing movies too. We're both a fan of those genres.
And we give you a midway point update on the Fantasy Film Ball.
Take it away, theme song. What's up? This is Movies on Up, episode 28. It's not just a game anymore. It's your favorite free weekly podcast hosted by me, Ryan, and just Dave this week.
Just me.
Running the two-man weave. We're going old school Movies on Up. We've kicked Kevin out for the time being for this week.
He kicked himself out.
That's true. It makes us sound like dicks if we say we kicked him out, but yeah. He told us, I'm not coming. Eat it. No Kevin this week. We don't have a top five list that we're going to be giving you like we had been doing for October. We're going to do news. We're going to do trailers. So it is very much old
school. It's like old school. We should have just gone into my daughter's bedroom to record it like the very first days.
Yeah, the very first several days. But I don't think either of us want to give up our palatial recording studio right now. So yeah, we're going to keep that as it is. Everything else is pretty much the same. Our tagline contest, it's not just a game anymore. If you know that tagline, you can feel free to put it off in the email. Send it to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Or you can get at us on the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup.
Movies on Up.
Yeah. And get at us on the Twitter, @moviesonup. Those are the three primary ways to get a hold of us. If you know the answer to our tagline contest, just let us know.
And I don't know if you can contact on Instagram, but just because Kevin's not here, we can still mention it.
Yeah, maybe
we're at movies or Movies on Up on Instagram. I don't know.
That's there, and maybe it has to do with pictures. Maybe you can take a picture of the DVD case for this.
Ooh, that'd be clever. That'd be good.
Yeah, we'd probably, and we have prizes. That's the sad thing is like we got. I think Pod Superfan Michael Kalenich used to participate in our tagline contest before we had prizes. Now we have prizes. We just can't.
It was
give
Tyler.
More.
Tyler
was it Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either way, they're both podcast superfans. So I guess I had a 50-50 shot, and I guessed wrong as is. Usually what happens, although not this week, with our box office, our over under, I guessed right. Actually you did too.
Yeah, I was very conservative.
You were very conservative, but we were both right on Skyfall. You set the over under at 40 million and there was literally a Skyfall for this movie this week.
Yeah, I doubled it. We doubled it, more than doubled it. It came in number one, 88 million just through Friday through Sunday. If you count in, it opened Wednesday at midnight. So you had Thursday in there, so that pushed it over about 90 million. It brought in another million or 11 million on Veterans Day on Monday. It's been out 4 days. It's at 100-some million already.
It made a ton of money. And if you look at the worldwide gross, which it had been out for a couple weeks before, I think the end of October it came out overseas, it's at $500 million.
No, it's almost at $1 billion by now. It's over 900.
The last thing I saw said 515.
No, after our weekend, the US weekend and the overseas weekend, it's 900. $1 billion was a possibility by the end of the weekend, but it didn't make it yet. But biggest opening ever for a Bond film. The early ones you can't really compare because
the ticket prices. There was no IMAX 50 years ago.
Which it did benefit a little bit from IMAX, but did you get a chance to see it?
I did. I went to see it with Jimmy the Bonds and Jack the Jedi.
Oh, and two loyal listeners that I met this week.
Yeah, exactly. Dicks. But I thought it was awesome. I kind of hinted that it might make my top five list for favorite Bond movies of all time. It did. There was, being the 50th anniversary, there were a lot of throwbacks to some of the old Bond movies, some of which I mentioned, some of which I didn't, that made their way into the movie. And the Monty Norman theme, which they haven't used in any Daniel Craig movies, and I can't remember if they did it in the Brosnan ones or not, but I mean, it's the James Bond theme that everyone knows. It's made its appearance in the most recent one, and I think, I know it's not really their style to keep directors around, but I really hope that Mendes sticks around.
Well, Martin Campbell did too, didn't he? I know he did GoldenEye, but he did the one after.
Yeah.
He did Quantum of Solace,
yeah,
right?
I was thinking even earlier, they had a director that did, I think I mentioned it last week, he did Goldfinger, I believe he did, oh shit, it was like
Mendes
I mean,
is
three.
Just quality, though, and Mendes never really done action. So I was curious how that would go. Mm-hmm. I do want to see it.
He's an action director. I mean, from seeing this,
yeah, you couldn't can tell.
It. Yeah,
I did. There were about, I think I counted about 12 people on my Twitter timeline that made a Skyfall Home Alone reference. So that seemed to be a pretty common thing that I think I know what Skyfall, we'll talk off mic.
Okay.
But yeah, so I don't know where that came from, but like literally about 12 people that don't know each other all referenced Skyfall and Home Alone.
So, I mean, if you're a fan of, I'm not gonna spoil the surprise and tell you that Macaulay Culkin is actually a Bond villain.
He's the Bond girl.
Yeah, he's the Bond girl. That's the big reveal at the end.
The big villains, I know, it's Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci.
Right, it's the Wet Bandits. Yeah. It is. That's but, the Skyfall's Bond battles, the Wet Bandits.
What's interesting is that last week, keeping on box office, the opening weekend for Wreck-It Ralph, we set the over-under at 30 because Hurricane Sandy. I didn't know if people.
Yeah.
Its second weekend, it brought in $33 million. At number two. And to continue with that, Flight, we set the over-under at 15. Its second weekend, 14.7 million. So people were out at the theaters a lot this weekend.
It was a hell of a weekend, especially for the top three.
Yeah, like Wreck-It Ralph, Flight, and Skyfall all did well. Argo, we said last week, it's going to hold strong still. 6.6 million again for fourth. And then Taken 2 with another 4 million for fifth. It's at 131 million. On a $45 million budget. I was just looking at some of these numbers. Pitch Perfect's at $59 million on a $17 million budget. That's impressive.
Yeah, especially for...
Because it's still hanging around in the top 10. Like, yeah, it's down to 8, but...
It's still around, but for the amount of theaters that it started at, and still performed well, you know, before getting its kind of wider release, that is a movie that has found an audience.
Yeah. Because Argo's at $85 million on a $44 budget.
Can we take credit for any of Pitch Perfect's success? Because we talk about Anna Kendrick so much.
I think so.
She probably ought to do our show.
Lincoln opened on 11 screens at $944,000. And I listened back to last week's show.
You said $7 million.
I don't know what I was thinking. In my head, I was thinking 3. And as I'm listening to me say 7, I'm like, wait, what? Why am I saying 7? Like... That was supposed to be 3 because the way I looked at it was if it beat Moonrise Kingdom. Because Moonrise Kingdom, its opening weekend was $172,000 per screen. So I thought the buzz might have been enough that it could have hit that 200 range, which still would only have been $2.1 million. But I don't know why I said 7.
I didn't really bring it up.
But speaking of not bringing it up, Tyler Moliterno actually mentioned something on Twitter.
Oh.
That... A mistake you made that I tried to correct you, and you just kept going, so I just let it go.
Oh, fair enough.
Wreck-It Ralph is a Disney movie, not DreamWorks, and Disney does not own DreamWorks. You called it a DreamWorks movie last week.
I think I did, yeah.
And I said, oh no, I thought Disney did it, and you said, oh, Disney owns DreamWorks.
Well, it was a Disney movie. I thought it was DreamWorks. I knew it wasn't Pixar,
Because remember when the first trailers came out, we didn't understand why it was just Disney, and not Disney Pixar.
Right. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Because it's not from the Pixar studios.
It was just a straight Disney animation film.
Yeah.
So that was Tyler pointing out that. Right? But if we're going to pull out my mistakes, I wanted to bring out yours.
No, you just wanted to bring out mine because I
didn't. No, I'm the one that brought up mine. I don't know where 7 came from. I meant 3.
Well, I don't know either, but that, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just kept going.
I did.
Because I thought, boy, that sounded a little bit weird. But
yeah.
Just moving on.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Nothing big in the limited releases.
Yeah, really, Lincoln was it for the limited release.
Yeah, like the comedy opened on one screen. It brought in 6,000, which is fair. To go back to Lincoln, it was at 80-some thousand, 85,000 per screen.
Yeah.
So it brought in just under $1 million. I mean, it did better than some of the movies that are on their way out now.
But Lincoln, I think, opens wider this week. I think it's actually full nationwide release.
I think so. I think it was going to be staggered, but I think they changed that.
Yeah, I think when I looked last night or whenever it was, I started putting the outline together. It'll be available in theaters next week, so most people should be able to see it. And I think that'll really...
It's going into 1,500 theaters.
Yeah, that'll be kind of the test. It's hard to tell, you know, the demand of a movie when it's on 11 screens in the country, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when it does get out. I still haven't seen a whole lot of press for it.
I'm seeing more
TV spots.
Yeah, I'm seeing more and more.
More and more, but still, it doesn't seem like there's that many. So I don't know if that'll...
For that kind of movie, it seems like a decent amount.
Fair enough. I guess this, that's probably one of those movies that most of the advertising budget you'd think might be spent post or like right around the award season.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we're a little early for that anyway. I guess maybe we're a little bit early in the show to give a Star Wars update. We had been kind of saving those for the end, but we're going to do it right at the beginning because we actually did kind of get some news. Speaking of the Pixar folks that didn't do Wreck-It Ralph, Michael Arndt, who wrote Toy Story 3, which as best I know is a Pixar movie. He also wrote Hunger Games: Catching Fire and Little Miss Sunshine, has written a treatment for episodes 7 through 9, that of the Star Wars franchise. He's going to start the screenplay for episode 7 sometime next year. Apparently, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill are all on board for returning as their respective roles.
It was nice to actually see news. Like, this is
not legit. Rumors, but news.
Yeah. This is, oh, he's been hired to start it. Because other than that, it's just this week, Spielberg, Tarantino, Del Toro,
Zack Snyder.
Like, any director that's ever directed a movie is getting asked if they would want to do this. And they're saying, like, oh, no, because they're not pandering for it. And then, everybody's reporting it as news. Like Spielberg says he'd pass. And it's like, what? Like, who? Let's wait. Let's get a script. Let's figure out what the plan is.
Yeah, I think for me, like, the actual nuggets that make any amount of sense are, number one, he's got a treatment for 7 through 9, which means there is a complete story. Yeah, there is a plan in place. So that's nice that it's not just, well, let's write this one and then write the next one after it. The movie should seem like they work together.
It should be
like
a trilogy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good thing. And the fact that I had thought that some of the actors might be back on board, I'm a little surprised that Harrison Ford has said that he would do it. I think I mentioned in one of the other shows that he's not been a giant supporter of Star Wars throughout the years, but everyone being on board with that. And it sounds like the cast actually knew quite a while ago that this was going to happen.
See, I think this has been happening. I think the balls have been rolling on this. And, like, there's rumor that there were 3 directors that got sent the treatments. I haven't seen exactly who. Rumor was Spielberg was one of them.
Which would make sense.
Right.
He shadow directed, you know, parts of episode 3.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, it just. But this happened fast. Once it came public, it's happening fast now. Like, this news was just 2 weeks ago. Now we have a writer. When do we have to wait till the script to get a director? Or is there going to be a director in there that can help mold the screenplay? You would think you'd want to have a director on board before the script starts getting written to bounce ideas off of those treatments and have a say in the story.
And as fast as news is coming out, news in air quotes is coming out about this, you would think that you know, they wouldn't be able to if they had a director, they wouldn't be able to keep that a secret. Which I think is one reason that the writers come out, because now that people are keyed into, oh shit, this is happening, like, everybody is absolutely on the lookout for any kind of Star Wars movies news they can find.
That's why I buy the Matthew Vaughn story. Like, I think that's more me hoping that's the case.
Yeah.
But
the timing seems to be right.
And yeah. Mark Millar came out about why he left X-Men Future, whatever, Days of Future Days Past. And it just came off like a bunch of bullshit because it was to do Secret Service. And it just, I don't think that would hold priority over a movie franchise.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, I mean, I hope the news keeps coming in. I'd like, in a way, I want to get an idea what the story is going to be, but in a way, I want to go in 100% blind.
Yeah, that goes back to the argument of, you know, do you want to stay spoiler free for things? And it's, you know, reading movie news every week, sometimes it's difficult to stay spoiler free from things, but I'm certainly going to try with Star Wars. I think Kevin brought up a good point. Like, it's nice to be able to go into a trilogy of Star Wars movies and not know what's going to happen. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we knew with the prequels, like, hey, that little blonde kid, that's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So you knew kind of what was going to happen in this. I'm going to try and stay spoiler free. And I imagine that's kind of how we'll approach it on the podcast and not tell you that Luke Skywalker dies in episode 7.
I hope he does.
There's been an outcry to kill him in the books for a while, but that didn't gain any traction. Maybe it's because they're planning on killing him in the movies. Who knows? Maybe Michael Arndt has written that, and maybe Brad Bird might get to direct it. He may or may not be directing Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill in Episode 7, but it looks like he will be directing, or maybe, directing George Clooney in 1952. Clooney in talks to lead the sci-fi project written by Damon Lindelof and Jeff Janson.
I'm excited for this. Like, without knowing anything about it, like, it's so secretive that, I don't know, it's sci-fi and it's called 1952. I have guesses about what it might be about, but I don't want to
think. Do you think it might be about the year 1952?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I break ground here.
But I'm interested in Brad Bird, like what he does. Like, I want to see what he does next.
For me, I'm interested to see, you know, kind of what Lindelof does. He was pretty heavily involved in Prometheus.
And then got let go.
Yeah, which, and people, you know, don't have the most glowing things to say about Prometheus. And I guess it might be, you know, from the expectations, maybe it was a little bit underwhelming. Maybe that's just because it was the first of a planned trilogy. You know, that can happen sometimes. But I'm kind of interested to see where he goes next. I mean, he was coming off Star Trek. I think, you know, he was a pretty hot name in terms of writing goes. And I don't know that Prometheus really helped his buzz any. So I'm kind of interested to see, you know, what will end up becoming, you know, the wrap with Lindelof. Whether, you know, coming off Lost, he was pretty hot, did Star Trek, and that turned out well. Obviously, the new Star Trek will go a long way and determining what people think about him. But, you know, this not being a franchise, being something that, you know, is essentially a brand new project, I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, if it meets expectations.
Plus Clooney. I'm always on board for Clooney. Especially to get back in the sci-fi setting. Like, all right. Like, he has that vulnerability that works. Like, it's hard to say without knowing the story, but he's been good in sci-fi before.
Right. He was awesome in The Facts of Life. That was just
Solaris, yo. That was just
fantasy. Yo.
He was on Roseanne. He wasn't on Facts of Life.
George Clooney?
Was he on Facts of Life?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, I knew he was on Roseanne.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I like Clooney.
Yeah, no, I like him too. I think it'll be interesting to see. A lot of the stuff that Clooney does now is, you know, the writing, the directing, and that the movie we talked about last week about the repatriation of art. Maybe it wasn't last week, maybe it was a week before. But that's another one he's writing and directing. This one, he's not writing and he's not directing. He's literally just acting in it. So
yeah. So, I mean, he'll have Gravity come out and then this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's getting back into sci-fi, which is awesome.
Absolutely. He's building quite a nice schedule of sci-fi movies coming out. Speaking of building, the Lego movie continues to build an impressive cast. Will Ferrell, Nick Offerman, Liam Neeson to join the cast already featuring Morgan Freeman, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett, Channing Tatum, Chris Pratt, and Alison Brie. This to be directed by a couple guys that you're familiar with their work and like it quite a bit. Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs and one of Dave's probably spoiler alert top 10 of the top 5 of the year probably.
Top 5 probably.
21 Jump Street.
They're the only reason I'm interested in this. I give no fucks about Legos. I don't care, and I think this seems stupid, but with them driving it, like, they're 2 for 2 so far for me. And I love what they did with both of them. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent in the voice cast, which I realize these are all going to be like cameos and stuff. But most of them are people who I trust the choices they make.
Some of them. I think I thought I read that like Will Ferrell is supposed to be the villain. So, I mean, that'll probably be a little bit more than a cameo.
Yeah.
But with the amount of people that are in here, yeah, they all can't have, you know, leading parts, so to speak. And I really don't care too much about Lego either. But I will say that from playing some of the license-based Lego video games, they have been, you know, kind of entertaining. They're cute, they're fun, whatever. I think this might be, you know, one of those movies that a bit like Wreck-It Ralph, you know, you take your kids to because it's a kids movie, but, you know, you can get some enjoyment out of it as well.
Because Superman, Batman are going to be in it. Like, there's going to be homages to other stuff. So yeah. I think it'll be a good one, like you said, to watch with your kids, because you should be able to enjoy it also.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that's paying for it, after all. They should give you something. The kids aren't going to pay.
They don't pay for nothing.
No. Word has leaked that James McAvoy will be joining Benedict Cumberbatch in the WikiLeaks movie. McAvoy will play, and I'm going to ruin this guy's name, Daniel Domscheitberg, the former second-in-command to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Domscheitberg is the author of one of the books that the film is based on.
Like, I don't care about the story, really. I think it's interesting enough. But to see some of the names that have been kicked around, like Jeremy Renner was going to be involved for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Fassbender's name got thrown in there at one point. Like, a lot of big-time people that I like were considering this. I'm not the biggest McAvoy fan, but Benedict Cumberbatch, that dude's amazing. And he he's going to be a star. Like, he's going to be... he's huge in this...
In Britain,
but he's going to be a star in the States. This might be that first step. Like, it just seems like an Oscar movie to me.
Yeah, I think that's kind of more it, too. I don't know that it's going to have the mass appeal that, it's going to make $70 million box office, but I do think it'll be one of those movies with a foreign cast that does well in Oscar season. And I don't know that it's going to make him a star, but it'll
be the first step to it. Yeah. Like, I think he'll get some buzz. He might get some Oscar buzz, and then... He's also going to be coming off of Star Trek 2.
Yeah, people might recognize the name.
It's hard to forget that name.
No, it is, but at least, that guy was in, and be able to name something he was in, rather than just, it's the guy with the funny name. This next headline was really only written it was written before Kevin told us he wasn't going to show up, because I was going to make him do his Marky Mark, which I don't know that it's particularly impressive, but it just makes me laugh. And now that I've built it up and he's not here to do it, it really kind of just takes all the air out of this. But giant alien robots, go home. That's my homage to Kevin's poor impersonation of Marky Mark. We'll be headlining the new Michael Bay Transformers movie. Bay, as if you don't know, is directing essentially a reboot of his own franchise. Bay said that he had such a great time with Marky Mark doing Pain and Gain that he's going to bring him back for Transformers. Some robots will be carrying over, but no humans. Not sure which of those two categories Tyrese falls into, but I'm guessing he's not going to be involved. Transformers 4, for those of you that care, put it in your iCal, will debut on June 27th, 2014.
This story is the perfect example of what's wrong with Michael Bay. There was an internet rumor that Marky Mark was going to be in Transformers 4. There was one about Statham, and that was shot down.
He said, nuh-uh.
Yeah, there was one about Marky Mark, and Michael Bay denied it, and Marky Mark came out and said, like, it's not going to happen. And then the internet went crazy about how good of a fit it'd be, how Marky Mark in a Transformers movie would be. So then Michael Bay's like, you know what, internet? I'm the juggernaut, bitch. So he's just fucking caved to fanboy pressure, which I don't even know what a Transformers fanboy is at this point. Like,
I'm not sure. I don't know if they like the Michael Bay movies. I mean,
but somehow he caved, and now Marky Mark, because of an internet rumor, is going to be the lead.
But let's spin this. If that's something that can happen, if the internet can come up with a hey, Michael Bay, this would be a great idea. Do you think that we could get some kind of internet campaign going where there's an internet rumor that Michael Bay is going to stop directing films?
Well, look at Turtles. The same kind of thing happened with the Ninja Turtles. That was pushed off indefinitely, but have you heard any news about it? They still want it to come out in the summer.
Yeah.
That movie's not happening.
Hopefully not, and especially, you know, once some of the alien part and that they're not actually, like, teenagers. There were parts about the script that I think really pissed people off, and maybe that's kind of what caused him to back that off. But I'm just, if we can get the internet as a whole to just, not just shit on Turtles, but to shit on everything.
You know what? I'm interested to see Pain and Gain. I really am. I'm interested to see what Michael Bay does with a $20 million budget with two stars like that in a story that sounds okay.
With Marky Mark and The Rock.
And The Rock. Yeah. Because you know what? Shit on Michael Bay all you want. The dude has an eye. He can fucking get some gorgeous shots. Like, he knows how to make something look great. Like, he does some cool stuff with the camera. If he loses focus on the blow-ups and the tits and the asses and shit, like... and focuses on telling a story with his style, I'd be on board. Because even some of his early movies, I enjoy. Like, I enjoy Bad Boys. I think the first Bad Boys is actually pretty good. It's not just a good action movie. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's become sort of
he's
like...
He's become a caricature
exactly.
of himself.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I'm hoping with Pain and Gain, since he doesn't have $100 million to play with, that he tones it down and he dials it back a little bit. But we'll see, because he goes from Pain and Gain to do Transformers 4. So even if that does come out, I don't know where his head's at. So I hate that I come off as a Michael Bay apologist, because I don't. The dude is garbage, but there's something there. Like there
but
is...
he didn't used to be. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, yeah. The movies he made, if you go up until Pearl Harbor, the stuff he was making was really good for what it was. Armageddon, it's a stupid movie, but for a popcorn summer like love story,
it's better than Deep Impact, which was
I like Deep Impact,
it was better.
But for a popcorn flick, it was perfect. Like he does those, even Bad Boys 2, like it was just a ridiculous action movie, but it was a good ridiculous action movie. I wouldn't put it on the level of Bad Boys 1, but they're not terrible until. Even the first Transformers I thought was fun.
You know what? I was so anti the first Transformers that as long as I didn't turn to stone watching it, like then it would have exceeded my expectations. So the first one wasn't bad, but they definitely have not gotten any better.
I stopped watching after the first.
I saw the second one, and it could only because it's been on FX like every time you turn on that channel.
Well, they do have the movies.
Yeah, let's talk about something else that might turn me to stone. If you ever wondered who would win a fight between Rocky Balboa and Jake LaMotta, the answer is Jake LaMotta, because Rocky is a fictional character. But if you were wondering who would win a fight between Sylvester Stallone and Bob De Niro, we're going to find out in Grudge Match. That is a new film that will be directed by Peter Siegel of Get Smart. The two will play fighters who get back into the ring for a rematch of a 50-year-old fight. Kevin Hart will be playing the promoter of this fight. Alan Arkin will play Stallone's trainer. And Kim Basinger will be the woman that is telling Stallone it's not a good idea to get back into the ring.
We talked about this a long time ago because it was announced that De Niro and Stallone were going to be doing it. But now it's got the director, which...
doesn't move the needle for
when
me at
Get
all.
Get Smart is your go-to credit. That was, what, 4 summers ago? And it was okay. The cast made that movie. But you know what? Kevin Hart is a boxing promoter. I want to see that.
I'm okay with that.
I want to see that. Alan Arkin is like a washed-up trainer. Yeah. At this point, I'd probably watch Alan Arkin in anything. And then Kim Basinger, the choices she's been making lately have been solid. So, like, it's weird because Stallone De Niro boxing movie screams all sorts of stay the fuck away from this, but then everything else building around it has me interested.
I like boxing movies. I don't like the sport of boxing, but I like the movies.
I love both.
But I think...
You just gave me my watch now.
Maybe mine, too. We'll try and... because I know you're not going to pick one of them because I know you haven't seen the movie starring Jake LaMotta. You've mentioned that a time or two. But, you know, these were... As much as I enjoy Rocky, I mean, that and Raging Bull were two of my favorite boxing movies. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's a weird genre type thing. When you've got guys that are associated for roles within that genre, they're playing similar characters, but not the same characters.
And this is where I get confused. You bring up genre. I was my understanding when it was first announced that this was a comedy, that this was a boxing comedy.
Yeah, and it may still be.
It might still be, but Alan Arkin, Kim Basinger lead me to think like, oh, maybe there's more drama to it. So I don't.
Kevin Hart, the guy that did Get Smart,
yeah,
make you think that maybe it's comedy.
As a promoter, though. So yeah. Like you can have him in a drama still being a Don King type character.
I'll probably end up seeing the movie just because I like boxing movies. It's just, this is either going to be good, like really good, or like a grease fire. I really can't see it just being, it was all right.
Yeah. I'm interested at least.
But are we interested in these two dudes? Like,
I'm interested
boxing.
In everything
They're
else
so
around it.
Old.
And what's weird is, like, De Niro looks like an old man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. De Niro hasn't aged like Stallone. He hasn't been on the needles.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, he's aged like a human being.
So that's interesting to me.
God, I hope they don't take their shirts off.
Oh, they will.
Oh, that's going to be disgusting.
If it's a comedy, that'll be a scene where Stallone's muscular with his shirt off and De Niro is like watching him on TV or something and has to take his shirt
Looks
off.
Looks like a grandfather.
Yeah.
Or great-grandfather at this point. Speaking of genre movies, a genre movie that did pretty well this past October is getting a sequel. Adam Sandler to return to Hotel Tranny in the fall of 2015. Not so sure if Genndy Tartakovsky will be making an appearance. He's set to make Popeye for Sony during that same window, so he may not be back to direct Hotel Tranny Dose.
Yeah, I mean, Sony's doing this. I mean, they had a hit. It's at $145 million already with an $85 million budget. I mean, who knows? They could, if they hold off on the DVD until next October, that'll push that up even more. So yeah. It makes sense that there's a sequel to it.
Exactly. This is not, I don't think it's a surprise to anyone, especially, you know, when we talk about, sometimes we do our box office rundowns at the beginning, you know, you'll mention what the movie's brought in, then you mention the budget, and then cynically, I'll reply, okay, so we're going to have a sequel.
Well, and Taken 2, you knew opening weekend, there's going to be a Taken 3.
Yeah, exactly. And we say shit like that, and it might sound kind of smart-assy, but, you know, then things like this happen. And I'm not saying that movie doesn't deserve a sequel. I didn't see it, but it made enough money to justify it at the very least.
And that's the thing, is with family movies, especially when you have like an Adam Sandler attached to it, like somebody like that, look at all the family movies that do moderately well. They become franchises. Because then, you know what? The toys that you tried to sell for this movie, they're still relevant in 2 years. They can be repackaged and put out. You know, you can add to the line. So it's so easy to make these franchises. And I didn't see it. It didn't look good to me. So I don't know the story. But I know enough about it that's like, all right, I could see this, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure that they've stretched sequels out of much less than was there. And it's hard to talk about it without, you know, having seen it, but I do think some of the stuff that Tartakovsky does is so good. I'm not surprised that a project he was involved with is getting a sequel. I think it'd be a bummer, you know, if he wasn't able to be involved in the next one.
But I can understand the decision on Sony's part to try to have him kick off Popeye.
Yeah.
Because that could be another potential franchise.
Yeah, it could. And you know, with his track record, there's a good chance that if anybody could make it a success, it would be him. And you know, if this has to be a thing where it, you know, it comes out, and it would have to be, you know, and probably another, when they say fall of 2015, that probably means, you know, October of 2015.
Or late
again.
September is when this one came. Yeah. Out, so.
Right. And if they're not able to wait for him, and you wouldn't want to wait till he's done with Popeye, I can understand where just the timing wouldn't match up, but it'd be nice if he'd be able to do both somehow, but yeah. I don't see it. It's something that we had kind of chilled out for October in lieu of talking about some spooky movies was our trailers. So we kind of, now that we're back in full force, of course, we're going to talk about spooky movie trailers.
We got 4 of the 5 would fit in our October show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that was on purpose. It just, maybe it's just kind of the frame of mind we're in. We're given a list of trailers. We pick 4 that are of a spooky nature. The first one, maybe not. Maybe I don't think spooky is the word for it. It's the trailer for Warm Bodies, which is kind of a zombie teen romance movie.
I'm very excited for this. There's a book on it. I haven't read the book, but it's basically just zombies are going about their lives. And then
after lives,
yeah, then Nicholas Holt, who I think is born to be a star, like he hasn't really gotten that break over here in the States yet. He's a leading man, like he truly is. He was Tony on Skins. He was, you know, he was in About a Boy. He's a little boy from About a Boy. His American accent in this, flawless. I think it's gonna be good. It's him, Teresa Palmer, Rob Corddry's in there. Dave Franco, John Malkovich.
I was going to say, John Malkovich.
Like, it looks like a fun movie.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting take on the zombie genre, which we seem to get kind of under deluge with now. And I think that, you know, maybe there's even a bit of an allegory to it that's not just kind of a zombie thing. But it's definitely... definitely interesting. It's not rehashing the same stuff. I mean, you know, there's been a couple movies maybe that I can think of from the zombie perspective, I guess.
And there's been some zombie love stories also, but yeah. None really this looks different than all of them.
And it looks like it'll be done better than the other ones as well.
People give shit because there's so many zombie movies now, and it seems like there's zombie movies coming out every month, but I enjoy them. I enjoy zombies. I enjoy the idea of them. I'm all for it if you can put a different spin on it, and that's what this is doing. It's making it completely different, which, I want to read the book, but it looks really good.
And it doesn't look like a zombie movie. It's a movie with zombies in it.
It looks like a fun rom-com.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you may have just invented a new genre there, at least a subgenre, so to speak. Our next movie, I don't think there's too much rom or com about it, which is kind of weird. It is World War Z, a movie which we've talked about a lot, based, or so I thought, off the Max Brooks.
There's a book titled World War Z.
Yeah. And after seeing the trailer, totally, I don't think it could be much more different from the book.
I don't know. It's a title thing. It's got to be title. Like, it's just taking the World War Z title. There's nothing about the book in this trailer. Like, there's nothing. Even like I look at this and it's like, where is the book?
I mean, I understand, you know, part of the book just shows a zombie plague as it, you know, were to make its way across the globe. But they're all different stories, for the most part.
That's what, when I heard they were making a World War Z movie, I hoped that was the approach they would take, is you have kind of interconnecting stories that not really interconnect. They're taking place in different...
Simultaneously,
because there's so many good characters, there's so many things you could do with it. And then they got Brad Pitt involved, and I thought, well, shit, it's going to be a Brad Pitt zombie movie.
It is.
Yeah, like, you're not going to focus on other storylines when Brad Pitt's your dude. But you know what? I want to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. It's just absolutely, like, not what I was expecting.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean... Like, There's no trace of the, you know, the snark that was in either World War Z or, and I mean, you know, granted, the zombie
There's not a lot of dialogue or anything, so that some of that Max Brooks snark could be in there. Like,
yeah, that's possible.
It doesn't, tonally, the trailer doesn't sell that. Brad Pitt's character seems like straightforward, like, get the shit done. I don't know if he's an extension of a character from the book or what. I think it just seems like it's starting from scratch. This movie's had so many problems. It's the one that they've pushed back and pushed back. But everything about it said the first hour is phenomenal. It's just they were having a problem with the ending. I'm interested to see it. I'll see it.
Yeah, I think we'll both end up seeing it. It's just, it's not quite the movie that I had expected it to be, at least from the 2.5-minute trailer that I saw. Maybe it's... The finished product is much different, but, you know, at this point we can really
maybe
go on the trailer.
It could be a marketing thing. Maybe they're bouncing off of Halloween, because this trailer just came out last week.
Yeah.
Maybe they're getting the people that are still in horror movie modes and they're putting together like a darker apocalyptic type trailer. Maybe as it comes closer to summer in March, April, when more lighthearted things are out, maybe there'll be a more like snarky comedic trailer leading into the summer release. But as of right now, I don't know why it's called World War Z.
Yeah, off the 3 minutes that, you know, are available for everyone to see, it's you know, it looks like an okay zombie movie. It's not what, you know, if you haven't read the book, then, you know, I don't think that you're going to think about it the same way we will. You'll just kind of say, oh, that looks like a pretty neat zombie movie with Brad Pitt. Yeah.
He looks amazing in the trailer. He's so handsome with long hair. Like, it's kind of distracted me a little bit. He is such a handsome man, and when he grows his hair long and looks like just a regular dude, he's stunning.
Do you think he looks more like a regular dude with long hair than he does with
short hair? I do. I think long hair accents his face a little better.
Our next trailer features a handsome man in and of himself, Anthony Hopkins, as his portrayal of Alfred Hitchcock in the movie Hitchcock, where he looks a bit like Hitchcock, but I think the voice is pretty good for me, I think.
Yeah, but he still sounds like Anthony Hopkins doing an Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, sure.
And then he just looks like Anthony Hopkins wearing Alfred Hitchcock makeup. Like, it kind of distracting. It looks like a well enough movie, and I know he's going to nail it. It just, the makeup doesn't look the best to me, and that might be make or break. If that gets distracting, but Helen Mirren looks top notch in it. Scarlett Johansson looks like, I mean, I don't think she's going to do much in it, but I think her part's going to be key, and I think she's going to nail it, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think...
It's about the making of Psycho.
Right, and that's kind of the thing that really interests me, is that it's about the making of a movie, which, you know, a lot of people have seen and you know a lot about. So, you know, you're kind of getting the story, but it's like behind the music for Psycho, which I'm pretty jazzed about. I think it'll be really kind of neat to see how that movie kind of came together and where he went from, you know, being a guy that did, you know, a lot of just kind of suspenseful movies, but not really a horror, so to speak. And then, you know, essentially established himself in our director's tournament with this movie.
Yeah. It's funny because you have this is documenting the making of Psycho. The Girl, the made-for-HBO movie, the documenting the Birds. So it's just like, he's an interesting dude. I'm interested to see it. I really am.
Yeah, we're watching both as a double feature. Who knows? I'm gonna call an audible here. And our next movie, it was last on the outline until just seconds ago, is done by a guy who was talked about to be in our director deathmatch for Halloween. That was Rob Zombie. He's got another movie coming out. It is a horror movie. It would fit nicely in that category. It's The Lords of Salem, which I believe is about some Satanists and possibly some witches. But it's hard to tell really from the trailer because
is one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
To me, it seems like
it's a Rob Zombie trailer. It's a music video. Like, it's just, the trailer is too Rob Zombie.
I thought the trailer was, it seemed like a trailer for a Kubrick movie, but
it's just classical, a more graphic music, Kubrick movie. It's classical music with imagery. I mean, like, I'll see the movie just because I haven't really loved anything he's done, but I still see it. Well, I didn't see the Halloween movies, but
the first one wasn't bad.
His
the
original
second one
stuff,
was pretty
like, I'll see,
shitty.
But I just, the trailer's terrible. My opinion on it is the exact same as it was before the trailer.
I think this is one of those things where if Rob Zombie's like, why cut together a trailer? Like, I know there are people that are going to see this movie because I'm involved and they like what I do. People that don't like what I do, I don't think any kind of trailer you could put together is going to change somebody's mind on what Rob Zombie's done to this point in his career. I mean, I he's very hit or miss for me. I liked Devil's Rejects, didn't so much care for House of a Thousand Corpses. I liked Halloween, didn't really like Halloween 2. I'll definitely see this, and I probably would have seen it, you know, even if I hadn't seen the trailer. The trailer doesn't do anything to help me make up my mind, but, you know, I guess we're going to have to see it to determine in 10 years if we want to put him in our list of American directors in our bracket when we do it in 2022.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts. The last one we've got to completely take a departure from the horror genre is a giant ensemble comedy movie.
You know what? Before we even give the name of the movie, okay, let me just read down the IMDb page here.
Sure, yeah.
This is the cast of this Worth movie. It. Emma Stone, Chloe Moretz, Gerard Butler, Kristen Bell, Hugh Jackman, Elizabeth Banks, Jack McBrayer, Anna Faris, Halle Berry, Josh Duhamel, Kate Winslet, Naomi Watts, Richard Gere, Patrick Warburton, Uma Thurman, Kate Bosworth, Sean William Scott, Liev Schreiber, Jason Sudeikis, Chris Pratt, Christopher Mintz-Pass, Leslie Bibb, Justin Long, Bobby Cannavale, Terrence Howard, Johnny Knoxville, Kieran Culkin, Tony Shalhoub, Matt Walsh. That's the bigger ones.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for most people, if you don't know every one of those names, you know probably 90% of them.
But yeah, and then there's 12 directors. Elizabeth Banks is the director, Stephen Brill, Steve Carr, Rusty Cundiff, James Duffy, Griffin Dunn, longtime actor, Peter Farrelly, Patrick
of the Farrelly brothers,
Patrick Forsberg, James Gunn, Bob Odenkirk of Mr. Show, Brett Ratner, who's one of the worst, and then Jonathan Van Tulliken. Now go on with the movie.
Obviously, it's a big ensemble with a lot of really, really talented people in it. I'm not really sure how the movie all kind of comes together.
My guess would be that it's like Amazon Women on the Moon or Kentucky Fried Movie, where it's basically just a sketch film.
Yeah, and I think that Kentucky Fried Movie is kind of the first thing that comes to mind. The movie that we're talking about is called Movie 43. Hopefully they'll change the name or something, because that just that doesn't really help you. But I mean, the trailer looks pretty funny. I mean, it is just in the 2.5 minutes they've shown, it's a hard R.
Well, I only watched the Red Band trailer.
Yeah.
So there's some quality laughs in there.
I thought so. And for 2 minutes, in 2.5 minutes, if you can get me to actually laugh like two times, then I'm all for that.
And just some of the premises that are set up in it, I'm on board with. Like the kid who's homeschooled, but his family don't want to rape him of his high school experience. So they just treat him like an asshole.
Yeah.
There's a shot of him in the shower, and the dad's like, "Hey, come look how small this kid's dick is." Just like, it's shit like that. Like, I'm on board. I don't like these kind of movies, but I'll see it.
I mean, I don't mind them. I think they're just kind of a, you know, I mean,
it's hard to say I don't like. They're few and far between.
Right. I like sketch comedy. I don't know that it necessarily has to all tie together for me. If I can sit down for 2 hours and watch essentially, call it maybe 10 individual kind of episodes, and I laugh at 8 of them, then that's great. That's a great, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours spent for
me. It gives me a feel of The 10, the David Wayne film.
Yeah,
from
but
a few years
funny.
Ago. I love The 10.
The 10 was...
I'm a state, like, I grew up on them. Like, I love anything
they
do.
It's not, like, laugh out loud funny, necessarily.
Just a goof.
Yeah.
Like, I love that movie. So it gives me that feel that it's going to be that kind of movie. And I loved The 10, and this has star power times 20. So
times 43?
Yeah. So I'll see it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's our, what do we got? 4 horrors and one that will be, that will kill you with laughter, probably.
Maybe, unless it's 90 minutes and there's only 2 funny minutes.
Yeah, and we saw the funniest 3 minutes of the bunch. But, you know, if you take a look at any of these trailers and let us know what you think about them. If you think that movie 43 looks funny, or if you think the Rob Zombie movie looks like it's going to bore you to tears, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com. Get at us. Those are good things to Facebook and to tweet about at Movies On Up on the Twitter or movies or Facebook. I don't know Facebook.
And we're getting more selective on what trailers. It used to be just I would list any trailer. That's why we would have like 10 to 15 trailers a week. We're getting more selective. So if you see a trailer that you want us to watch and kind of want us to suggest it, and we'll throw it on the outline for that show, because other than that, it's probably just going to be us picking stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah, so, we used to have some real shitty ones.
Yeah, like there were some shitty ones this week. Like The Host came out. I couldn't even finish the trailer. 21 and Over looked terrible. There was one more I watched that I was going to put on here, and it's just like, yeah, I'll pass on that.
But yeah, I think we used to put them on and then watch the trailers. Now we're kind of learning. We watch them first and then...
If you see a trailer you want us to talk about, though, hit us up, Facebook, email, Twitter. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Get at either of those ways, and we'll be sure to talk about it. Might be talking a little bit about Twilight next week, as that is the largest, really the only wide release that's coming out this week. That is, of course, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, which will wrap up the Twilight saga, I guess. I don't really know, read any of the books. I guess our limited releases both involve books one way or the other. Anna Karenina, I guess that's based off a book. Not that I'm going to read that shit either. That opens on 16 screens. Opening on 15 screens is the Silver Linings Playbook.
Silver Linings Playbook is getting a lot of buzz, like a lot of talk of Jennifer Lawrence not just getting a nomination for it, but being the favorite to get Best Actor Oscar for it. So
I've seen that a couple places too.
So you got Twilight and Silver Linings Playbook coming out this weekend. Both of those come into play with Fantasy Film Bowl.
Sure, yeah. I kind of perused our list, which Dave actually did a really good job of running down the 10 listener lists that we have and giving you guys some points. So I guess I don't think you have it necessarily who's... You don't have them ranked by...
No, I'll break down by movies, though. Like, the movies that are out so far, Lincoln just came out. It's at 0.9. Point, not even a full point because it's only on 11 screens. Argo is sitting at 8.6 points. Cloud Atlas, 2.2. The Master, 1.6. Frankenweenie, still regretting that one, I'm sure, 3.4. Skyfall, just one weekend, 10.2 points already. Looper, 6.5. Wreck-It Ralph is at 9.4. So, I mean, those are the ones that are out now. And then you got Twilight, Silver Linings coming out. The Hobbit's going to be the big one.
Yeah, and that'll be the end of December. So, you know, if your point total isn't quite as high as it should be, you know, if you only have a couple movies in the game now, that's fine. Or, you know, if you're waiting, like if you have The Master and you're...
Like The Master's going to get some...
You're going to get some points for nominations on that.
The Master, Lincoln. Well, Lincoln's going to get more with money too. Argo, I think, is going to make a big dent. So there's still a lot of points to come. Twilight's going to make a ton of money. A movie like Looper, that's probably done.
Yeah.
Like, it might gain a few extra million here and there, but it'll probably top out at 7 if it gets that high. Frankenweenie, it's probably ran its course. But some of the... Oh, it's 7 Psychopaths, 1.4 points. That's probably done about,
yeah,
too. It'll make a little bit more money, but not much. Les Mis will be coming out. That's an interesting one. Because that could be a sneaky pick.
That is a sneaky pick.
That could really swing some stuff.
And neither of us have it.
No.
That might have been an oversight.
Yeah, I mean, it could be really sneaky. There's a lot of buzz about it already. It could make some decent money, and it could do pretty well at the awards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting. Skyfall, I think that's just whatever it's going to make is gonna be it.
That could be, you know, one that's almost all cash, straight cash. Which, straight, homie.
Same with Twilight.
Yeah,
they could both hit the 200 million mark. Well, they both probably will hit the 200 million mark.
But I mean, if you got 5 movies and one of them gets you 20 points,
exactly,
like, that's pretty There's good.
Worst point,
yeah. Exactly.
Because figure even Cloud Atlas at two, like it's at 2.2. It's not making much more at the box office.
No,
even if it gets 3 nominations, it's sitting at 17 points.
Yeah. So
if it doesn't win any of those, so it'll. I realize it's early, but we just want to let everybody know we didn't forget about it.
Yeah, no, Dave's doing some homework.
And Tyler Moliterno actually tweeted us to ask what the scores were.
I wonder why.
Yeah, because
he's in first.
He's sitting with Argo, Skyfall, and Wreck-It Ralph are his three that already have points. Between those three, he's got 28.2 points. He's still got The Hobbit and Les Mis to come.
Yeah.
So he's off to a pretty good start. Behind him, Eric Hawkins, who we laughed at because he's got Looper, Argo, Twilight, Cloud Atlas, and Silver Linings Playbook. He's got 17.3 points already.
Yeah.
But like we said, Looper's probably not going to get anything else.
A lot of his are out or going to be.
Well, Silver Linings,
yeah,
could be sneaky.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say anybody's out yet. Thomas John, despite the Frankenweenie pick, 15.2. That puts him in third. And then Westy, Jason West, is at fourth with 11.7.
Jason West.
Yeah. He's 11.7. Then there's a few in that 11 range. But what's interesting is Zero Dark 30, because it's not opening wide anymore. So there's going to be very little box office to be earned from it.
And that's one of those things that, you know, you want to apologize and say, hey, sorry. But, you know, like fantasy football, I mean, you could draft a guy real high, and if he gets hurt, he's done for the year. You don't get any points for him. That's just kind of... the way, because
I mean, we could alter it and do the opening weekend of like January to, but
it could, but I mean, that was always,
I mean, it's one of my picks, and I don't even think we should do that.
That was always one of those things that
I think it's more of an award movie than a box office movie.
It is, and that was kind of my way to sort of equalize, you know, some of the movies like The Hobbit that was just going to be the prohibitive, you know, make all the monies, get all the points. If we say, all right, you only have through the end of December to get that.
Yeah. So and plus it's going to be, it's not like it's not coming out until then. It's going to run in New York and LA. And then I think it'll hit some expanded cities. So there'll be some box office.
Yeah.
There,
that was always going to be more of an awards pick anyway. So whatever you get in box office really from that movie is just kind of a bonus anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, we just wanted to update from the middle just to kind of show where we're at now. Life of Pi is coming out. That one could be sneaky. That could get a lot of technical Oscars. And Ang Lee,
yeah,
could sneak in there for director and film.
Yeah, although it's kind of got me scared. Like, I thought the same thing about Cloud Atlas. I thought they would both kind of be similar in that they're both kind of weird.
You're not, I'm gonna really say sure what's going on. I'm pretty right on where I thought Cloud Atlas would be.
Yeah, at this point, you probably are right.
I think I'm skewing towards the right side. But, yeah. I mean, awards could come out and prove me wrong, but...
Yeah, I'm not willing to give up on it yet. I think maybe... And I haven't seen it yet either. That's kind of a problem. I need to rectify that soon. But that could be one of those movies that, you know, when people find out, no, we actually, it's getting a lot of nominations, it could be good, that maybe it'll get kind of a second life. But yeah, so like if you're, you know, kind of down towards the lower point total, don't fret. We still have quite a bit of chance for you to make up through the rest of the year in box office and through awards as well. Didn't get a watch this suggestion from Kevin this week.
Sorry, I have three.
Okay, that's fine. Why don't you just go ahead and give your three?
Going back to when we were talking about boxing movies, I was thinking like, I really do love boxing movies because sure. I love the sport of boxing. Great White Hype is one of them.
That's a boxing
starring movie. Damon Wayans, Peter Berg, Samuel L. Jackson in like a Don King type role. Pretty funny movie. Actually pretty funny. And then going to Ving Rhames in a Don King type role in the made for HBO movie, Don King, Only in America. This is one of the best acting performances I've ever seen, because at times you swear like, wow, how'd they get Don King to actually be in this movie? Because Ving Rhames is so fucking spot on. He's Don King in this movie. It's so well done. And Don King, love him or hate him, he has an interesting story. They did a really good job with it. So that's Don King, Only in America. I don't know how you can find it because it was just a made for HBO, but it's really good. And then one of the best underrated boxing movies of all time, Digstown, starring James Woods, Louis Gossett Jr., Bruce Dern. Awesome movie. Like just fun, feel good, just awesome boxing movie.
So those are your three for the week?
And the 10.
And the 10. Yeah, okay. I have just one. We'll keep it short and keep it sweet. It is a movie that was referenced last week. It may have been referenced on this pod, for all I know. And it is Cloak and Dagger. It was one of my favorite spy movies that didn't get mentioned in anybody's list last week. It didn't officially get in my watch this for last week. But it is, I think, really, really good. Henry Thomas, the young man from E.T. Dabney Coleman from a lot of things in the 80s. I think it's worth a watch, especially if you're into video games or spy stuff. It's a kid's spin on a spy movie, and one of my favorite movies ever, and I watched it a bunch when I was a kid, so much so it still makes me want to get an Atari just to play the game that they're playing throughout the course of that. So that's it for me. Cloak and Dagger, check it out. Check out Dave's three boxing movies,
and the 10,
which is not a boxing movie at all. It's about the Ten Commandments, if you couldn't tell from the name. So, yeah, check those out. Let us know what you think. You can get at us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or on the Twitters, @moviesonup. We do have an Instagram, which I'm not sure how much is going to get done on that this week. Kevin is changing places of residence, so he's kind of wrapped up with that.
Yeah, and I'll be taking next week off. My schedule is just way too crazy. The week of Thanksgiving, Kevin and Ryan will be here.
Yeah, we don't have anything going on.
But before we go, I want to plug a couple things from friends of mine. Dust Up, I've talked about the movie a million times, Ward Roberts' movie. It came out on DVD today, and it hit cable on demand. Like, it's been available on Amazon, Google, iTunes. It's been online for a while. It's actually, if you go to your cable video on demand, it should actually be there today. Also, Doc of the Dead, we talked about it last week. Go to docofthedead.com. They have a Kickstarter that is about halfway there, and they've been releasing clips as they hit certain things. And then a couple friends of mine that do the Nerdpocalypse podcast out of Baltimore, they just started a podcast called Black on Black Cinema, which is just four or five black dudes watching movies and talking about their impact on the African American culture. And they're actually really smart dudes, and they're really like, have really cool opinions. So it's a pretty cool podcast, and it's very interesting to listen to. They have some cool takes. So the first episode of that is up.
And what movie did they do? Do you know?
No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, okay.
They just put the episode up today. But the Nerdpocalypse is actually a really good podcast. So it's those guys doing it, and I trust them to put together a good show. If you want to go the opposite of good shows, I have another podcast called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. You can find us at ericanddave.com, @ericanddave on Twitter, or facebook.com/ericanddave. And I am on Twitter @DaveBasella.
Fuck plugging Kevin because he's not here. Just don't
Kevin Bradway on Twitter.
Don't interact with him at all. He's on Facebook too.
Also, If you have ideas, like we've been doing top five lists or whatever, if you have any ideas for topics or lists or anything you want to hear us do, we'll gladly take suggestions.
So much so that we will pay you for them. I don't know. Yeah, just help us plan the show. And it helps, like, if we know that it's something you're actually interested in, it gives us a little bit of justification to actually do it.
Yeah, because we'll try to do some cool stuff in December leading up to the end of the year, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. It'll make it a very special Christmas episode of Movies on Up.
We'll just talk horror movies all through December again.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? That's going to be our bread and butter. We'll just do that all the time. But until next week, I guess, Dave, it'll be a couple weeks before the folks hear from you again.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Kevin and I will get at you before your Turkey Day celebration. And maybe, you know, if you've got that uncle or that... you know, in-law that's kind of a pain in the ass and you don't really want to interact on Thanksgiving, Kevin and I will be able to provide you with a 60-minute distraction, which is plug in your headphones and ignore everybody for an hour, because that's what the holidays are really all about anyway. So, until next week,
keep it up.